All right, saints, please make your way to your seats so we can begin our series through 1 Peter. Ándale, ándale. All right, guys. I love the fact that y'all want to continue to fellowship, which is a good thing. Well, if you have your Bible, please turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. We'll be going through three verses, 10 through 12. 1 Peter chapter 1, we'll be reading 10 through 12. And before I read, I'm going to go ahead and pray for our time. Father, Lord, I do thank you for this day that we get to meet. Lord, thank you for the time for us to sing unto you, Lord. Thank you for allowing us to worship you, Lord. Thank you for allowing us to hear the preaching of the word. And I pray that you would continue to help and give us grace this afternoon, Lord. And I pray that you would be with me, Lord. You would help me to clearly communicate your truths. I pray, God, that we would, that our hearts would be warm towards the person and work of Christ, God. I pray that this message would warm our hearts, God, and to consider Christ more and to love him more. In Jesus' name, amen. So like I said, if you have your Bibles, please turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. We'll be reading 10 through 12. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours searched and inquired carefully, inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glories. It was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves, but you in the things that have now been announced to you through those who preach the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. I broke up this passage in two points, and the two points is, first, the delivery of the Old Testament messianic prophecies. And second, the Old Testament messianic prophecies fulfilled and received. Fulfilled and received. And as a way of introduction, when we think about the messianic prophecies of the Old Testament and how they are being fulfilled in the birth and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we have to remember that they came about through certain means, these prophecies. And Peter begins in this chapter he begins to unpack that. And notice what Peter says. He says this in verse 10. He says, concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace to be yours. He begins by saying, the prophets who prophesied. Give me one second. I think I just lost my notes here. the prophets. Notice the description of these. These are prophets. They were those who prophesied. They were men who were chosen and commissioned by God to carry out God's words, promise, and commands. And as Corey mentioned, they also prophesied and they also talked about judgment. But they carried the promises of God and they also carried out God's words to the people of God. These men who represented God, they knew the words of God and they were not perfect, but oftentimes weak, doubting, and afraid. But they relied upon God. These prophets are those who have been consecrated and appointed for the work of going where God sends them. They take heed to God's commands and the preaching of God's word. We find this summed up in Jeremiah chapter 1, the requirements of a prophet. Notice in Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 through 10, it says this. In Jeremiah chapter 1, "Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Then I said, Oh, Lord, behold, I do not know how to speak, for I am only a youth. But the Lord said to me, Do not say that I'm only a youth, for to all whom I send you, you shall go, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Then the Lord put out his hand in verse 9 and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, Behold, I have put my words in your mouth." So these prophets were consecrated and appointed by God, and they have the words to speak that God commands them to speak. Basically, these men are ultimately a prophet is God's mouthpiece. He speaks the words of God. This is what we have in 1 Peter chapter 1 here. They are prophets who prophesied about the grace to be yours. Notice the other descriptions of these prophets. They prophesy. Not only were they consecrated and appointed, but they were influenced by the Spirit of God to prophesy, to preach. Here in the context, the way prophecy is used, it's used to proclaim something that's going to be fulfilled in the future. For 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21 says, "For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit." Notice another description about these prophets here in our text, that they were men who inquired and searched carefully. You find this in verse 10 and 11. They searched and inquired carefully, inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ was in them, indicating. They were men who were diligent, searching the event of Christ's sufferings and the glories to follow. They searched and inquired carefully. They made careful searches. They were investigating these prophecies, seeking to find out the time or circumstance when the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glories, meaning the subsequent glories means the glories to follow, were going to take place. What does this tell me about the prophets? That they were not careless men. They were diligent. They were interested and eager to find God's will and the unfolding plan that was pertaining to the Messiah's arrival. They were anxiously searching and investigating. One biblical resource says this: the word means to search after or thoroughly investigate. It was first used to tell a dog sniffing out something with his nose. It was in this way that the prophets searched to find out the time of the Messiah's appearance. Matthew Henry says this: the manner of their inquiry, they inquired and searched diligently. The words are strong and emphatic, alluding to miners who dig to the bottom and break through not only the earth but the rock to come to the ore. So these holy prophets had an earnest desire to know and were proportionally diligent in their inquiries after the grace of God which was to be revealed in the days of the Messiah. This is a helpful understanding the way the prophets approached prophecy of the Messiah in the Old Testament. They were also men who were influenced by the Spirit of God. This is the reason why they prophesied. And what did they prophesy? They prophesied about the grace that was to be yours regarding the sufferings of Christ, that the Spirit in them was indicating the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow. This grace that was prophesied by the prophets were the effects of the sufferings of Christ, the glories to follow. This is regarding the blessings of the gospel and the Messiah's arrival. And you see this prophecy being made in the Old Testament about the sufferings of Christ. And I would, you don't have to go there because I'm going to reference a lot of these Old Testament prophecies. But bear with me. Some of these Old Testament examples of the sufferings of Christ regarding the future that was going to happen in the future. Beginning with Moses, you remember the verse in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. Here's a good example. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Here we have the promise of the offspring referring to Christ, who was going to come and crush the head of the serpent, but also that his heel would be bruised. Another one is found in Psalms 22. It says this in Psalm 22, to the doe of the dawn, a psalm of David, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me? From the words of my groaning, O my God, I cry but day by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but I find no rest. Yet you are wholly enthroned on the praises of Israel. But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by mankind and despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They make mouths at me. They wag their heads. He trusts in the Lord. Let him deliver him. Let him rescue, for he delights in him. I am poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within my breast. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue stick to my jaws. You lay me in the dust of death, for dogs encompass me, a company of evildoers encircle me. They have pierced my hands and feet. I can count all my bones. They stare and gloat over me. They divide my garments among them. For my clothing, they cast lots. And you find this picture in the New Testament when the Lord Jesus Christ was suffering on the cross. You find these images regarding what was going to happen to him in the Old Testament. Such a clear picture and shadow of the sufferings of Christ. Another one that's very clear that we're very familiar with is Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53 is a good picture of the suffering servant, of these prophecies that these prophets were proclaiming. And Isaiah 53, and I'll just read through it. Who has believed what he has heard from us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their face, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken and smitten by God and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living? Stricken for the transgressions of his people. And they made his grave with the wicked, and with a rich man in his death, although he had done no violence and there was no deceit in his mouth. Here you have a plain picture of the suffering servant in Isaiah 53. And also another prophet here in the prophet Zechariah in chapter 12, verse 10. Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10, he says this, "And I will pour out on the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem a spirit of grace and pleas for mercy. So then when they look on me, on him they have pierced, they shall mourn for him as one who mourns for an only child, and weep bitterly over him as one who weeps over a firstborn. They will look on him whom they have pierced." So these prophets who were declaring these things, these are the same prophets who were inquiring diligently the time of this arrival, of this one who would come, this Messiah. So when we go back to the Old Testament, we should be looking at Scripture in the same way, sniffing out the person of Christ, investigating these things, his suffering, the glories to follow. This is an important, it's an important way of viewing the Old Testament. This is what the Lord Jesus did in Luke chapter 24. You remember with his disciples in Luke chapter 24. And starting from verse 18, he says this, "Then one of them named Cleophas answered him, 'Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?' And he said to them, 'What things?'" This is the Lord Jesus speaking. "What things?" "And they said to him, 'Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mightily in deed and word before God and all the people.' And he said to them in verse 25, 'O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken. Wasn't it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted it to them and all the scriptures, the things concerning himself.'" Later, if you continue to read down from verse 44 through 46, Jesus appears to his disciples and says this to them, "Then he said to them, 'These are my words that I spoke to you while I was with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled.' Then he opened their mind to understand the scriptures and said to them, 'Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer on the third day and rise from the dead.'" Even the disciples in the New Testament had this understanding of the suffering of Christ being proclaimed by the prophets of the old and that it was fulfilled in their times. Key passages regarding these is Acts chapter 17. In verse 2 it says this, "And Paul went in as was his custom, and on the three Sabbath days he reasoned with them from the scriptures, explaining and proving that it was necessary for Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead, saying that this Jesus whom I proclaim to you is the Christ, the Messiah." You remember the time where Paul was before Agrippa, the King Agrippa, in Acts chapter 26. It's a really good verse here. In Acts chapter 26, verse 22, Paul says this to the King of Agrippa, to the King Agrippa, "To this day I have had the help that comes from God. And so I stand here testifying both to small and great, saying nothing but what the prophets and Moses said would come to pass." Verse 23, "That the Christ must suffer, and that by being the first to rise from the dead, he will proclaim light both to our people and to the Gentiles." And Acts 28 as well, in verse 23, the Apostle Paul says this, "And when they had appointed a day for him, they came to him at his lodging in greater numbers from morning to evening. And he expounded to them, testifying to the kingdom of God and trying to convince them about Jesus, both from the law of Moses and from the prophets." But now, the Old Testament messianic prophecies being fulfilled and received in the time and era of the disciples that Peter's preaching to. Notice the verse that says, it says this, "It was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves, but you and the things that have been announced to you through those who preach the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. See, these prophets, they thought it was for their time. They were investigating these things. They were carefully searching these things. But the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating to them the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glories were for a different time, not their time. This is why it says that the Spirit of Christ revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you and the things that have now been announced to you by those who preach the good news to you, by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. So it was for us, for the people, for the readers of those who heard the apostle Peter preach. It was for these readers that they have been announced to you. The plan of God being fulfilled in the birth of Jesus Christ around the time of the disciples, the word now is important in this text. These things have now been announced to you. Will give us an understanding of the immediate context. These New Testament believers who Peter is addressing are living in these times. And this is God's perfect plan. This is God's plan and perfect time that the prophecies will be fulfilled in these times. And also in the New Testament era in our time. So it was a perfect plan, a perfect time. For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For no one would scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, one would even dare to die. For God shows his love for us while we were still sinners, Christ died. Galatians chapter 4 says, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son. This is Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 and 5. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of the woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoptions as sons. You know what this tells me about the prophets who prophesied about the grace that would be yours? This grace that they were prophesying that would be theirs, this proclamation of the sufferings of Christ, this being fulfilled, it's a very personal plan of God that he would save his people. Not only is he thinking about the whole of his church, but individually, that God would send forth his Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life, that this is a personal salvation to his people. I mean, if you look at this verse here, verse 10 through 12, notice the personal pronouns here, that about the grace that would to be yours, search and inquire carefully. Inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glories, it was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves, but you, things that have now been announced to you through those who preach the good news to you. It's a very personal salvation, a Christ who saves perfectly. And this is a glorious salvation as well. The glories to follow, the subsequent glories, referring to the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Not only his sufferings, his death upon the cross, but the glories to follow, his resurrection, and also his ascension, that he would sit at the right hand of God, and that all authority will be given to him in heaven and earth. And the glories following of the effects of the gospel, what he did upon the cross, that he would justify a sinner, that he would adopt him and forgive them and give them a perfect righteousness, that he would save them. And not only that, but they would have what Corey mentioned, this eternal age. They would be with the King face to face. Peter says in the next verse, in 13, He says this, therefore, preparing your minds for action and be sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. We are blessed on this New Testament era to receive the fulfillment of the Lord Jesus Christ and all the promises that are found in the gospel. We are such blessed, we're such lavish with love. This is what Ephesians chapter 1 says. Ephesians chapter 1, starting from 6 through 9, it says this, to the praises of His glorious grace which He has blessed us in the Beloved, in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace which He lavished upon us, in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of His will, according to His purpose which He set forth in Christ. These messages are glorious. That He would save His people who are lost and sinful, living according to the course of the world, and He would make this plan of salvation beginning in Genesis and work through to save His people, for His name to be glorified, to accomplish redemption. This is why the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross said, "It is finished." And so these messages are so glorious. The plan of God's redemption and the messianic prophecies being fulfilled, that even angels long to look into these things. Notice the last verse that says here, things into which angels long to look. Now, we won't dig too much into that, but the whole point of this is that these angels who sit before the face of God, who are in the heavens, they see the redemptive plan of God and they long to look into. They like to lean into it. That's what the word means there, long to look. They like to draw near, stoop down, look into these things. To see that the Son of God would come, be born of the flesh, and go to the cross and die for a people. That God will humble Himself and go to the cross and die for these people. Imagine what's going in their mind. They're just seeing this plan of God from the beginning. And God's working it out. These angels desire to look into these things and see. It's like if they were to see one of us face to face, they would be, man, this is the one whom the Lord saved. This is the one whom He justified. This sinner He forgave and made into a saint. No wonder why these angels, they rejoice when a sinner repents. So in light of what I shared, how should we respond to these things? To this message of the gospel being fulfilled? I think the rest of the chapters in Peter is a good imperative for this indicative truth of Christ dying upon the cross, rising from the grave, and that we are partakers of believing in Him, partakers of these blessings of salvation. I think the rest of the chapters and 1 Peter are a good way of response. Notice verse 13 in chapter 1. Therefore, regarding what has been said from 10 through 12, therefore, preparing your minds for action, be sober-minded. Set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Verse 14, as obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. And verse 16, since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Chapter 2, verse 1 says, so put away all malice and deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Verse 2, it says, like newborn infants, long for the spiritual milk. In chapter 2 of 1 Peter says this in verse 11, beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh which wage war against your soul. Verse 12, keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. And then carrying on to verse 13, be subject to the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether to it be to the emperor as supreme or to the governor as sent by him to punish those who do evil, to praise those who do good, and to praise those who do good. Verse 16, live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. And then verse 17, honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the emperor. And in chapter 3, verse 1, likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their lives. Verse 4, but let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is in God's sight very precious regarding to the sisters. And then verse 7, to the husband, likewise, husband, live with your wife in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life. Verse 9, do not repay evil for evil, reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless, for this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing. And then chapter 4, since therefore Christ suffered in the flesh, arm yourself with the same way of thinking. Whoever has suffered in the flesh ceases from sin. Verse 8, above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. And then chapter 5, I exhort the elders among you. Verse 2, shepherd the flock that is among you, exercising oversight. In verse 5, in chapter 5 of 1 Peter, likewise you are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourself with all humility towards one another, for God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And verse 7, casting all your anxieties on him who cares for you. Verse 9, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls like a roaring lion. And then the last verse 12 in 1 Peter chapter 5. By Silvanus, a faithful brother as I regard him, I have written briefly to you, exhorting and declaring that this is the true grace of God. Stand firm in it. This is a really good way to respond in light of this glorious message, the Old Testament messianic prophecies being fulfilled in our times. In light of these truths, in light of the gospel, what Christ has accomplished, we should respond to these truths in that way. And I will end by this. If there's someone here who's not believing in this perfect Messiah, then I would call you, I would beg you to repent of your sins. If you haven't come to know Jesus Christ for yourself, if you haven't believed in him, I would remind you to a passage in Acts chapter 3, verse 17 through 26, starting in verse 19. Or I'll just read from verse 17. In Acts chapter 3, 17 through 26, it says this, and now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers, but what God foretold by the mouth of the prophets, that his Christ would suffer, he thus fulfilled. Verse 19, dear person, if you're here, you haven't trusted in Christ, this word is for you. If you haven't truly believed in Jesus, verse 19 says this, repent therefore and turn back that your sins may be blotted out, that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ appointed for you. And verse 23, and it shall be that every soul who does not listen to that prophet shall be destroyed from the people. There's a warning as well. If you don't listen to the one who has come, the Lord Jesus Christ, the only consequence is hell. If you don't turn from your sins and believe in Jesus Christ, you will be destroyed. But the Lord is merciful and gracious. And God, in verse 26, it says this, God having raised up his servant, sent him to you first, regarding the Jews, to bless you by turning every one of you from your wickedness. And this applies to everyone, that if you repent and believe in Jesus Christ, those those who do not have salvation, they should call upon the Lord and he shall save them. So I would just close in prayer and just consider these truths, especially if you haven't come to know the Messiah for yourself. So let's just bow our heads and pray. Father, I just pray that you would, Lord, work in the hearts of those who heard your gospel, Lord, those who don't know you. I pray that they would come to the knowledge of who you are and what you have accomplished, and they would place their faith in you. I pray you would save them. Lord, I pray that you would use this message to encourage your people as they read the Old Testament, Lord. Lord, they would be searching out, Lord, the person of Christ. I pray that you would help them in their own devotions, God, that you would warm their hearts, and they would consider what has been accomplished upon the cross, Lord. And I pray that you would help us to live for you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.